The tax breaks that just keep on giving. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The modest budget agreement that should keep away another government shutdown easily passed the Republican-controlled House over fierce opposition from some conservatives. The vote is set to ease some of the sequester cuts, the automatic across-the-board budget reductions to military and education that had been on the way. Budget columnist Stan Collender is a former staffer on the House and Senate Budget Committees. Morning, Stan.
Good morning, David. Good to talk to you with you.
Tell me about what remains of the sequester after this budget agreement is put into force. It is not all of the sequester that is mitigated.
No, it's about half, maybe even a little bit more of the reductions that would have happened under the sequester, mostly in the defense side, have been mitigated.
Now, there were cuts scheduled to happen for Medicare providers. A lot of those are still going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's a maximum 2% reduction in cuts to providers. Those are the people who actually take care of you under Medicare, and that's going to stay in place. Not only is it going to stay in place for 2014 and 15, but they've extended that into 2022 and 23. That's one of the ways they paid for this, so they extended cuts into the out years.
And when do we know the actual nitty-gritty details of how this budget agreement is put into force? We have to wait till January, but where will we finally see it?
The sequester cuts won't be known until January 18th. That is the date that it's scheduled to go into effect, when the agencies and departments that are affected by it will have to tell everybody how they're going to accomplish it. So we've got almost a month before we actually know the details for this year. And then, of course, for 2015, we won't know until January or thereabouts, 2015 again, for those cuts to take place.
Budget maven Stan Collender is also a honcho at Corvus Communications in Washington. He tweets at The Budget Guy. Stan, thank you.
My pleasure.
That House deal now goes to the Senate amid fighting words. It's still expected to pass. What Congress has not figured out are taxes, which means 55 tax breaks that all sorts of people and businesses have come to know and love are set to expire at the end of this month. Marketplace's Lizzie O'Leary reports.
We're going to start this story about taxes someplace a little unusual.
Barn 63 at Belmont.
Yep, Belmont Racetrack, by the stall of this pretty brown horse with a white star on her forehead.
Our little girl here is Under the Moonlight, a two-year-old filly.
That's Steve Zorn, her owner. He's also a tax lawyer. His horse cost $15,000 up front and at least $30,000 a year to train. But she brings jobs.
If we have the horse business here, there's going to be a groom for every four horses. There's going to be an exercise rider for every 10 horses. And that employment's a good thing.
Right now, Zorn and his partners get a 3-year tax break that lets them recover some of the money they put into their horse. But on December 31st, it expires, along with breaks for teachers who buy classroom supplies, owners of NASCAR tracks, buyers of electric motorcycles, even a credit for rum in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. 55 little bits of tax policy. A loan, adrift, like legislative orphans.
It's a hard enough life for us.
No? Too far?
The problem with your orphan analogy is that these folks really love their tax credits.
That's Robert N. Williams. He runs the Tax Policy Center at the Urban Institute.
To them, they're not orphans. They're little children that need loving care.
Usually, Congress gives them that care, extending tax breaks for people and industries year after year. This year, they've been too busy fighting, complicating the job for lobbyists.
We find our champions, and then we count on them to make sure the job gets done.
That's the Farm Bureau's lobbyist, Patricia Wolf.
I'm here in Washington, and I'll be spending time up in the offices of the tax writers.
Congress says they want to reform the whole tax code soon, maybe next year. So hang on, little tax breaks. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary for Marketplace.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
Marketplace is listener-supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up-to-date, up-to-the-minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up-to-date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks. can say the lottery is a tax on foolish people, but some economists argue the first ticket may be rational because of the entertainment value of imagining the winnings. Now, if you go to the Mega Millions website this morning, it says in big red letters, the estimated jackpot is $400 million. Then in really small type, it says cash option $216 million. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports on that spread.
Stephen Matlock and four buddies played the same number for 15 years. Finally, in 2001, they won $6 million. They took it as a lump sum.
We had to pay an extraordinary amount of taxes. When we started out, it was about $1.2 million. We ended up with just about half.
If the winners of today's lottery take the lump sum, they'll get $216 million before taxes. They'd do a lot better taking incremental payments over 30 years, which adds up to the full $400 million. Janet Stanzek is president-elect of the Financial Planning Association. She says that's a good idea from a tax perspective, too.
So if you take it all at once, the bulk of the money is all taxed at the highest bracket. Whereas if you take some money each year, you get the benefit of those lower tax brackets.
But the most important piece of advice for keeping your money?
Sit on it.
Stanzek agrees. Don't blow it on impulse buys or mooching family members. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And sometimes a holiday trope is hard to resist. Dateline Kokomo, Indiana. They're going through the Salvation Army kettles last week, counting the contributions. And what's this? A gold coin? A South African Krugerrand. The Salvation Army was able to sell it for $1,220. Truth be told, the Salvation Army folks were looking for gold. Somebody out there had been tossing in a Krugerrand for 4 years straight. The latest coin brought in $400 less than last year because, as we've been reporting on this program, gold prices have been dropping this year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.